could.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Now, we're probably getting out of our depths here, Don, but it doesn't really matter because I don't know if you've been keeping an eye on what's going over on the United States of America, and I know that people say, oh, don't just talk about local things, but probably the biggest thing that's happened over there for a while is, I don't know if you're familiar with a court case 50 years ago called Roe versus Wade, where a person called Roe, which actually wasn't her real name, that was a pseudonym, she wanted to have an abortion from a bloke who'd made her pregnant, and she was allowed to. And now they've cancelled this. The Supreme Court of America, SCOTUS, I think they call it, the Supreme Court of the United States, SCOTUS. They, nine judges have come out in a majority decision to say that abortion is illegal, and it's up to the states to decide if they want to.
They're hand passing.
They're just adjudicating the law. They're not making the law. They're judging.
They're hand passing it to the states to make a.
They say lawfully that's how it was interpreted in the first place. It should have been.
What it did for me was bring up what happened in Melbourne 50 years ago. And if you remember Dr. Bertram Weiner,
yes,
in East Melbourne,
yes,
and the furor it caused,
yes,
and people were protesting outside his surgery in Wellington Street, East Melbourne.
So it gets down to whether you think a woman has the right to have an abortion, and I believe a woman should have the right to have an abortion if she wants to. But then they say, well, at what stage do you call a human life in someone's woman's body? What stage do you say that is a human life and it's actually murder if you let it go too long? At what stage is it not all right to have an abortion? That's what they're arguing against. And so a lot of the states in America have decided that abortion is illegal, and if you want to have an abortion, you've got to drive to a state in America where it is legal. And this is a huge furor going on over there. And so it gets down to the decision is to, if you get raped or through incest, a woman gets pregnant, does she have the right to abort a baby she doesn't want? And then where do you draw the line?
And these states are, from my knowledge, there's some of these states are very religious. Now, is it a religious thing that's pushing this? Why would they look at it 50 years on?
Because they are saying, oh, this is not me, they're saying that the decision was wrong in the first place. A woman doesn't have the right, or people don't, a woman doesn't have the right to have an abortion just because she wants to.
Oh, I think there are a lot of extenuating circumstances.
Of course there are. So I'm. As I say, if anyone wants our opinion, Don, I think a woman has absolute right to have an abortion, but just not at what stage, though. Not sure about a minute before she gives birth, if you could abort someone at 8 months or 7 months. Or that's what's basically the argument, is when do you decide there is a human life inside your body? Some people say at conception, some people say at 12 weeks, 26 weeks. I don't know. So
the other thing interesting, looking in the paper this morning, which is Wednesday when we do our podcast, the grand final for netball is coming up this week.
Me just moving along from abortion. Yeah, so are you for abortion?
I just...
Now, are you?
I think it's an individual decision.
So you'd say if a woman wants to have an abortion, she has every right to, and it doesn't matter what stage of a pregnancy is, if it's 7 months or 9 months, 8 months, and you want to kill the baby before it comes out, you can.
Well,
that's where basically the argument heads. So, And if a woman is pregnant and the partner decides because it's had a scan and that it's going to be either disabled or retarded or whatever, and I know plenty of people have and disabled babies and they love them, but if you don't want to bring a retarded or disabled baby into the world, do you have a right to abort it?
Mm.
And that's the other. Yes, so go on, Don. We've got off abortion.
Well, yeah, but yes. I mean, it's a very complex question, and there's arguments for both sides.
There is.
And I just think it's an individual decision.
Well, then...
And you've got to live with the consequences.
If you think it's an individual decision, there's no argument. You're conceding there's no argument from the other side. If a woman wants to have an abortion, that's it. So it's not... We can have so many different arguments.
The man might want the abortion, but the woman doesn't want to do it. So, you know, and the woman might want the divorce, but the man... I just think, you know...
Go on, we'll get on to the sport.
Well, just quickly get to something sport, which is common denominator to a degree. Isn't it interesting that how the AFL pushed their product and yet netball is being played in Perth this weekend, the grand final... And it gets, I reckon, a third of a page on page 75 of the Sun. It's about five pages in. Yet the back page is dominated by the draft, the AFLW draft.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got stories in that.
The AFW draft.
The women's league draft, which is
that's
on.
That's taken precedence over the netball that's
right.
final.
That's right.
Yeah, well, that's. I'm not sure how long that'll continue. Is the AFWL going well? This is a very subjective thing,
and I think that the television stations have got their arm up their back. If they want to do the main game, which is the men's game through winter, you've then part of the deal is if you want those rights, you've got to do the women's
as
well.
You are spot on, Donald. You are spot on.
And I don't. I like netball. I've watched it. I've been to watch it. I like it on television. I think it's a fantastic sport.
I think
sport.
They're indirectly promoting a game which has very little interest in it. Mm.
And the other thing is, which would do their cause some good, and it was interesting, and I mentioned this a couple of years ago, they had a women's State of Origin rugby league last week, women.
Yeah.
Now... I mentioned this a couple of years ago that they've only got maybe half a dozen teams playing rugby league in New South Wales or Queensland. And so consequently, the talent pool is in those particular teams. You know, the best are in six teams, whereas we've got up to 18 teams. The talent is spread thin, is far thinner. Also, rugby league lends itself. It's not as hard as what AFL is as far as getting the skill and what they're doing.
Pretty skillful, the rugby people.
Well, to a degree, but there's a little bit more skill required in AFL.
Yes, but they're very good athletes, the rugby
boys. I'm not questioning it, and it was a terrific game. And I've watched it, and I watched the women play, and they hit as hard as men. It's all relevant.
And they don't apologise when they hit.
Well, that's another issue, isn't it?
Yeah, well I notice a Richmond player got knocked down by a Geelong player, did he?
Yeah, Tom Stewart ran through Dion Prestia on the weekend. It was interesting.
And apologised for hitting him.
He apologised.
And then the commentator said, oh, he wasn't great. He went and apologised and to see if he's all right.
And the coach gave him a hug at three-quarter time, an embrace. His teammates came up and the opposition, and it's a different world, isn't it? If you play it in normal time, it was pretty hard to pick, but he did the wrong thing. I don't know why. But the other thing is, a lot of these players who are the recipients of a bump nowadays are not aware or lack awareness of what's going on the ground and what... and. One, you know, again, I hate doing this, but we were taught to shirt front.
Yes, we were hard on and often.
Taught how to do it, that you're running at about nearly top pace, but in the last few strides when you've got him.
Put the shoulder down
and you hit top speed.
Oh, boy, oh, boy.
And we were taught that.
Crowd love it.
And You know, I don't see any of those particular people worrying about concussion nowadays.
And so the Geelong boy hand passed over his head, did he?
No. Dion Prestia was running and on his right hand, so he hit with his right hand over a player to a teammate who was running in the same direction, yeah. Right? So a looping hand pass went to the man. Now his hand was still up. You know, so he's in, that's how, and then when, it's not as if his hands were completely down by their side, but he was as open as a garden gate and Stewart ran through and hit him. Now, Stewart should have really been focusing, but maybe I don't know what I would have done.
Here are my two football rules, Don.
What?
Never leave your man to go and tackle someone else's.
Hang on, never leave your man to...
Because as soon as you run off...
Yeah, you create the loose man. The
bloke will hand pass over your head, so... Yep. Let the bloke with the ball run until he doesn't know what to do with it. So never leave your man to tackle someone else's. And the other one is, you'll love this, Don.
What?
This is a bit different now. We've got closed stadiums, but never play on into the wind. If you've got a gale blowing from one end of the ground to the other, you want to soak up as much time as you can.
Oh, yeah.
So never play on into the wind. Go back and run the clock down by...
Yep. Well, we don't have that. We don't have that problem anymore,
no,
do we?
No, we don't. No, not when we used to play out of Footscray or Essendon or...
wasn't Footscray. What was your worst ground to play at?
Probably there, Footscray.
It was a shocking ground, wasn't it?
Well, it was just... It was because of the wind.
No. What about the change rooms?
Yeah, no,
they were the coldest bloody rooms of any change room to get changed in, trying to find
but
your
the
way.
The home team had lavish rooms.
Footscray under that new stand.
The visiting teams and all they were given sparse accommodation to try and put them off their game before they started. You finish with the football, just this is a prognostication, Donald. This is a prognostic. Daniel Ricciardo. I don't reckon he'll get a gig next year in Formula One because I think he's been a disappointment.
Well, he's kind of missing out. Don't you have to be in a decent car? Wouldn't that determine you or help you as a driver?
Yes, would. But I think his teammate is doing better than him, and I think. Anyhow.
Well, you're across it, I'm not.
No, I'm not. I'm only just
Well, you're
saying.
Far more away. Yeah, so you don't think he'll get it?
I don't think he will. But what would I know? And we've got the Grand Prix for another till 2035, Don. It's a fantastic event to happen as long as you didn't have to race the cars.
Why? Why is that?
Well, because it's just they're just boring. The races are boring because... Well, the first and second cars get out ahead and no one ever races one another except the bottom sides. They've got to overhaul that. But it's a great event. We've snared it for another till 2035 and the lead up and all the hype and the glamour and the cars look fantastic. And I know we've got rid of the grid girls, but maybe they'll bring them back. And the race is dead boring. I watch them every week or every fortnight when they're on. With Ferrari, still the most dysfunctional sports team in the world. Out of any sport that you name, they are just hopeless. Ferrari.
Well, I've got to take that.
They can snatch victory out of the jaws of defeat or vice versa. Defeat out of the jaws of victory on any given day. They are dumbasses.
What about on a local note? You realise that the incumbents, the Victorian Labor Party, who control our state at the moment, named four new ministers last week? Now, that is unusual, isn't it?
The deck chairs, on the Titanic.
Experienced people have gone out. What is that to me? And it just went by. I don't know why the Liberal Party didn't get up. That's how bad the Liberal Party is in Victoria. Get up and start and ask a few questions. Was it because Daniel Andrews is staying on and these people are ambitious, I should imagine, like Molino and all the rest of them? He's the deputy premier. But four senior ministers have resigned or will not be contesting the next election. Either they didn't get their way or they're not in the right faction.
You said that we could get to speak to Adam Samuel. What's his name?
Yeah, well, I passed the number on to you.
Yeah, where'd you get it? Did you got it because he was he amenable to coming on?
He was.
Well, I texted him and said, "Would you like to come in and have a chat to Don and I?" And which he doesn't have to get back to my text. And then I see he rang me, so I rang him back, and he didn't answer. So,
well, Adam, I hope he comes on, Adam. Adam, come on and clear up a few things.
Come in and Don will ask you some softball questions about life.
Well, I'd like to ask him about what's going on here and why it isn't questioned that four new ministers in coming in, and Andrews is giving the spin about inclusion and all the rest of it, and that now it's a balanced thing. It's rubbish. It's these people, the Deputy Premier Jacinta Allan, is a career politician. Come into politics at the age of 23 or whatever it is, a minister at 29. What does she know about the real world? Just like Daniel Andrews. All he's done is union stuff.
Yes.
And also on the, it's good to see the Victoria Party nominated or pictured on the steps of Parliament House. They're candidates for the upcoming election.
Who are they?
Well, there are a number of them.
Paul Di Martino?
Well, he's involved. Him? Bill Lang is the leader. But they're business people or being small business people who are au fait with the workings of society or business. And I think they are a viable alternative because they're halfway between Liberal and Labor. And there is a Liberal Party in Victoria.
Where's that?
Leave a lot to be desired. When I saw an interview from the Liberal opposition leader in Queensland, although they're not in power, the Labor have got it up there, Palaszczuk. But gee, he had a little bit more get up and go than our guy down here's got.
Than Mr. Guy.
Leaves a bit to be desired.
Where's Bernie Finn? What's happened to him? Is he?
I don't know. Are you going to speak at his function? What? Are you or not? That's a DLP, Democratic Labor Party. Senator McManus.
McManus,
started.
Yes. Yeah. I was asked. I don't know what he asked me. I have to find the text.
So he's asked you to speak at his rally.
I don't know what he's asked me. I have to find the text. Did you notice?
No, hang on. You've just brushed this off. So you are going to speak at his rally.
I'm not going to speak anywhere.
You were asked?
He inquired. I think his office did. And I'll just have to find out what they're inquiring about.
This might help your profile.
What?
This may help your profile.
I don't need my profile.
You've got to remain relevant.
No reason.
What
to
about
have
that
my...
other big story we've got just sitting on the back burner at the moment? Yeah. When are we going to let that one go? You know, it's sitting on those back plates. It hasn't come to the front of the stove yet.
Some litigation.
Well, that, would you mention it? I was being very evasive, but you've said it.
Well, you're sitting there, so
well,
what about
I'm
that
just
story?
Asking when we're going to, because I'm worried about your image. It's got to be out there, trying to help you.
What are you worried about my image for?
Well,
I
want you to remain relevant.
Don't need to remain relevant.
Well, you do. You've got to remain relevant in this town.
Why?
Well, I don't know. You've created this persona.
I don't need to remain relevant at all. What for? I'm only coming in here doing this to... So keep relevant? No, so we can have a chat about things that piss us off, which are most things.
But people are not going to listen to us talk about what pisses us off.
Yes, they are, because it pisses...
Anyway, so...
Because the things that piss us off...
So when can I... When can I let this story go and who shall I let it go to? The back burner one.
I'm not
Jackie
sure.
Jackie Epstein or Fiona Byrne? What is it? Entertainment or gossip?
It'd be entertainment.
Well, we better keep Fiona on. Fiona,
Phoebe.
We might have a story for you.
Now, did you know NASA? Do you know what NASA means?
Wasn't he in charge of Holden?
Jamie
NASA?
No, he's old man. No, NASA, that's an acronym.
NASA. I thought it was Prime Minister of Egypt, the old bloke.
No, that's right. No, NASA. It's an acronym, Don.
Didn't he own a nightclub?
An acronym's only an acronym if you can pronounce it, like WHO, the World Health Organization, or UNESCO, or Qantas. NASA, it's not an acronym if you can't pronounce it.
Isn't there a NASA that owned that disco, that nightclub you used to go to? Talk what was it called? Silver's.
Yeah, Silver's. No, NASA, you know, NASA. Do you know what that means?
No.
Do you?
Nautical American.
National Aeronautical and Space Administration.
What's the R for?
It's NASA.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Anyhow, NASA, which is an American, it's an American space agency, they launched a rocket here. First one.
Near Arnhem Land.
Yeah, in the Gulf area.
Yeah, they're going to discover some star.
Do you know how long the rocket was in the air for?
I saw it take off.
Yeah, how long did you think it remained airborne for?
Crash. I didn't hear this.
It didn't crash. It went up.
What, a fizzer?
No, it wasn't a fizzer. They launched it into space for how long?
I don't know.
15 minutes.
Oh, is that all? I thought it was going up to take photographs as part of the solar system.
Well, that I don't know what it did, but it said it lasted 15 minutes, unless I got that wrong, Don. I'm going to check it while you're speaking. I think, wait for this, Don. Now, see if you can get this. They're going to, this was with a view to putting an astronaut up. Going to try and land.
No. I think it's some photograph of this.
But this was a precursor because they... Just wait for this, Don, please. Don't trample over this. They are thinking of trying to get an astronaut and a rocket to go to the sun.
It'll melt.
And that's what someone said, and they said, no, we're going at night. I'm glad you let me get that out, Don, without trampling all over it. Yeah, good on you. Just pretend.
Is that the Irish attempt on the
moon? Yes, that's right. They said, we're going to put a spaceman on the moon, on the sun. He said, you can't do it, it'll melt. He said, we're going at fucking night, you idiot. Don, I shouldn't have taken the accent off. While you're doing this, please don't say I'm looking at my machine here, but I'm going to just see if I can find out how long the rocket. So bring up another topic while I'm just Googling this.
Well, on Facebook I was, again, rung yesterday. People ring in with little bits of pearls of information, but Jamie Carr, you know, the female jockey?
Yes.
She's overseas with Ben Malham. That's interesting, isn't it? Probably you don't follow racing, but
no, I don't.
For the racing enthusiasts, it's a very interesting story.
Right, and why is it interesting?
Well, they were both together when they contravened COVID. Remember COVID last week? Last year with a number of jockeys and they all
got suspended. So they're an item?
Well, they must be an item. They're very good friends. They must be very good friends.
Is she going out with him?
Well, you'd have to say that by the photograph, wouldn't you?
I haven't seen the photo. I'm wondering why you brought this up. What's his name?
Ben Malham.
He's married, isn't he?
Is he? Really?
Oh, I thought he was married. What does it matter if he's married? Is he? And she's going out with him. Is he divorced?
Well, he may have. Oh, I don't know. He may have. They might have an open relationship. How would I know?
I don't know. I just remember. I remember seeing his. Did he have some kids? And plenty of people get married and have kids and go out with other people when the relationship's over. I'm not saying that's the case, but I'm wondering why you brought that up.
Well, it was on Facebook. People send me these things, and I'm into horses and
into horses.
Well, you know, she rides and she show jumps and.
Now, I've got this here. It says, NASA's first Australian rocket launch has helped fuel a mini tourism boom in remote Northern Territory township.
It's in the middle of nowhere.
I hope they've got permission from the elders and the
first... No, the elders were there.
So it's all right.
Well, the grab that I saw, there wasn't a town in sight. It was an excavated site. They've knocked down...
Excavated.
Excavated site.
Excavated.
Site with a few huts on it, and they've got this little rocket.
Got permission from the elders.
But then they took shots of the elders out there and other people all watching this thing take off.
Oh, so the elders were there. They'd given permission to launch the rocket off their land.
Obviously, yes.
Right.
This is a TV grab.
I wonder if they had to pay them. Now, I can't see where it says. Now, here's a picture of them all reclining. I want to see how long it was in the air for.
Oh,
15 minutes. Someone said it went in for 15 minutes. It's not a lot, is it, Don, really, when you think about it? Township travellers are gathering to witness the rare moment. Hotels have been fully booked. Business groups
are
hoping...
There's no hotels around the...
Oh, well, it says hotels have been fully booked in Nillumbury, due to the rocket launch. Two more rockets are being launched. The scheduled sounding... launch into space. I want to see how long it took. It was in 15 minutes. Wouldn't get far up, would it? How far would it get up in 15 minutes?
You can do a lot in 15 minutes.
What would it get into outer space?
Oh God!
Oh shit! Go on. Speak about something else. It just seems ridiculous. It only went. And ultimately, on the traditional lands of the Yolngu people, they're the original astronomers. They've claimed that they're the original astronomers. 60,000 odd years of history related to sky, country, and the stars. So they've claimed that they were the first astronomers 60,000 years ago because they looked into the stars, and now NASA have. Usurped them as being the real
one of the rock paintings. Who was it? What was the fellow's name that questioned
paintings?
Didn't question the rock paintings, but there's a rock painting, a very old one, but it had a figure with like a helmet on its head, like a spaceman's helmet. Now, you know, it really does raise the question of whether there's another world out there that has come to this planet.
Oh.
And this was painted hundreds of years ago. No, it'd be more than hundreds of years ago. An ancient rock painting depicting what we would classify as a space.
So you're saying an indigenous rock painting has
person who was the fellow that put up all these different theories in there? He wrote a book on it. And it was a television series as well, a documentary. Thor Heyerdahl, was it?
What?
Thor Heyerdahl. Well, was he the bloke that sailed in the Kentucky? Anyway.
Thor
Heyerdahl or?
Thor Heidspen. The Norwegian. Don, I can't say. I'm sure it only went for 15 minutes. How long was it airborne? Go on.
Oh, don't worry about it. It was up and down.
Well, how could you get photos?
This is riveting radio.
Go on, speak.
It's riveting.
Go on, speak about something else.
If you had somebody technically au fait with the internet, we'd have this story up.
The rocket was 9 metres long, 64 centimetres in diameter. The engine was a hybrid relay, and it lasted... Oh, dear, I don't know. No, I don't know. No, you can't wind it up yet. We've spoken about nothing. Now, give us one other topic, Don, please. we can't put this to air. Now, give us another topic, and we've got a guest coming in. We hope you got some questions for him. Any other final thing before you say, oh, I wanted to say this, but you cut me off. We'll wish Dr. Ben Bon Voyage... do you want me to tell you that joke about Pierre and his French lover?
Who's Pierre?
Pierre is the famous French lover. They got on the boat.
And he's got a lover.
They were going, what? When we get on this cruise, he said, let's pretend instead of just having normal sex, we'll just spice it up a bit by saying, instead of saying, are you about to have a climax, Don? I will say to you, is the ship sailing yet? You know, and that's instead of, and she can say no. So they're at grinding away in the berth of the boat, and Pierre's getting near the Vidinger stroke, and he says to Marie, he said, is the ship sailing yet? And she said, no, Pierre, keep going. So he's banging on, grinding on again. He said, Marie, please, is the ship about to sail yet? And she says, no, keep going, Pierre. And he said, he has another crack at it. He says, Marie, please. He said, tell me the ship is about to sail. And because he's got a head of steam up. And she said, no, just a little longer. And he said, no. He said, Marie, is it about to sail? And she said, no. He said, well, fuck you. Bon voyage. Don't you think that's funny? anyhow, now, Don. What? on that.
Would have been a good note to finish on.
Would it? I don't think I played the music the last time I did the... all right, so we've got a guest coming up. So that's... I'm not sure we'll put this to air, but we might. Hang on. Here we go. What am I doing?
I'm open around the streets late at night. I'm worried because you ain't treating me right. Come back again. I'm just crazy about you.